Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Good Friday to you. Thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call at Sports Map Radio. All right, they did it. The Buffalo Bills went to Los Angeles to beat the Rams. And listen, I've said many times that the old cliche, in order to be the champ, you got to beat the champ, I don't believe in it. Look, it works in MMA. It works in boxing when there is a belt to be won. In order to take that belt in an individual sport, you have to knock out and beat the person that has it, and then you get it. But in team sports, it doesn't work that way. Sometimes teams aren't that good. Sometimes champions aren't as good as they are, and you don't necessarily have to go through them to be the champion. Last year, for example, the Rams did. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers were the defending Super Bowl champs. The Rams went to Tampa Bay. They beat Tampa Bay and went on to win the Super Bowl. But if the Bengals had won the Super Bowl, they didn't have to go through Tampa Bay. So I think a lot of times we use that cliche a little too liberally, but the reality of it is that was a big game last night, regardless of where the Rams may be when it's all said and done, whether they are going to be a Super Bowl level team. The reality was last night there was a celebration. It was the kickoff night. It was everybody watching. It's the anticipated game of the year because it starts the football season. It's unlike any other Thursday night that we have on the schedule. Now, we can have great Thursday night matchups, but there's nothing quite like the kickoff opener because you have given the fan base what they've been dying for a very, very long time, which is football's back. So with the entire nation, football-watching nation, with all of their eyes on Los Angeles, and again, you're the defending champs, you've got the crowd behind you, you're doing the celebrations, all of those things, the Buffalo Bills went in there and just simply won the game. This is the thing, though. This game was tied at halftime. It was a one-score game in the fourth quarter. But I would challenge anybody to tell me that they really thought, in the end, the Rams were playing better or looked capable of winning that football game. Sometimes you watch a game where it is tied at halftime or it is one score going into the fourth quarter, and you just feel like there is it's still just a one-sided game. I watched it with a couple of friends last night, and the reality was none of us thought the Rams were going to win. The Bills looked like a championship team, even if the score was close until they exploded in the fourth quarter for enough touchdowns to give them a 21-point lead. We're going to come back and break down this game, talk about a couple of things on the Rams' defense.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, welcome back and a good Friday to you. We got a lot to talk about this first game of the season. Of course, the weekend that's coming up. We got a lot of football to get to, including college football. A lot of top 25 matchups coming up this weekend. But we'll focus on the Bills and the Rams. You know that old story you hear a lot? Hollywood has used it in a number of movies where somebody will talk about the old man in the village, right? And the old man in the village just sort of sits back and watches, and everybody celebrates or is despondent about some certain circumstance, right? Whether it's like the young man fell off a horse, oh no, and the old man says, we'll see. And then the army comes to get the young men, and the man doesn't have to go and because he's got a broken leg, and everyone celebrates, and the old man says, we'll see. And it just that's just the kind of theme that story tells, is that in the end, we'll see. Now, part of this business of analyzing games and sports radio and all of that is to be taking a game like that and to say, hey, this is what this means, right? And I don't mean to be the man in the village. I don't want to be the man in the village that says, we'll see. But I also know, and have been around this league long enough, is that I don't want to get hyperbolic about what I'm seeing. But with the Buffalo Bills, you kind of can't help it. Last night was not a statement game in that they beat the Rams, right? And it's a week one of 17 games. We all kind of get it, right? The season is long. Injuries can occur. Ebb and flows occur all the time in this league. The Cincinnati Bengals, and I'll keep saying it, came really out of nowhere. Let's be honest, came really out of nowhere. And we might have loved Joe Burrow and all of that, but who had them going to the Super Bowl? And even the Rams, even the Rams had a good season. But when you're still talking about Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and everyone was high and mighty about the Cowboys for a while, who really thought the Rams were one of those kind of teams? Even if they put the game plan and put it out there that is what their ultimate goal was by giving up all the draft picks that they could to acquire talent today. But, as I said at the top of the hour, when you have all of the expectations on you, when you are on the road, when you are playing in a stadium that not only is the home of the Super Bowl champions, but it also was where the Super Bowl champions won. They're getting all of the accolades and the love from the city and the fans, and it's their moment. And plus, you add the fact that, again, it's a Thursday night opener that the whole country's ready for. We haven't had competitive football in a really long time, and all of a sudden, this game is going to come, and it features one of the teams that is the favorite to win it all in the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills go out and not only win the game, but do so in a manner that felt like they really controlled the whole night. And how often do we say that about teams in a game that was tied at halftime, 17-10 in the fourth quarter? And while it's 31-10 the final score, the reality of it is I never once felt the Rams were in this thing. And I don't say that about NFL teams very often. I don't say that about NFL games very often. You can take a bad football team like the Texans, right? And they can play a great team like Tampa Bay or whoever. And if that game is tied at halftime, I've been around this league long enough. You have been around this league long enough to know, yeah, these things happen. Bad teams beat good teams all the time. These were two really good teams. I should have at halftime with two really good teams should have said, oh, this is a dogfight. It didn't feel like a dogfight to me. And again, I was with a couple of guys last night. We all got together at my friend's brand new house. No one in the room thought that. The Bills were 100% sure they were going to win the game. Now, that's not confidence. You know, you got to go out there and believe you can. That's not it. It's not it. They really believed no matter what they did, in the end, they were going to win this game. Throw a pick, fumble a football. They had three turnovers at halftime. Didn't care. Tie game at halftime on the road. Didn't care. They knew they were going to win this game. They felt like they were going to win this game. They felt like the Rams gave it their all and in the end weren't going to score very many points other than the 10 they had. Von Miller and the defense constantly got into the backfield all night long. 7 sacks. It was a night, again, where Buffalo would make a mistake. Big deal. So what? We'll go back out and still sling it again. No worries. And that's, to me, that's the statement of this game last night. I can get, again, all hyperbolic on this. Who's going to beat Buffalo? Look at Buffalo. Look at Buffalo. Look at Buffalo. This league's crazy, right? But I think last night, when you combined all of the elements that came into this game, that came into what we were looking at with the Bills. This wasn't a team where we had to go, let's see what we have here. We knew what we had here. This was a team that was 13 seconds away from going to host the AFC title game, beating the Chiefs at Arrowhead. Josh Allen, when he left the field at Arrowhead, had the lead of the game and then never saw the field again. So we have got an elite football team that we knew was elite going on the biggest stage you could probably have outside of the playoffs, the opening game of the season, on the road, and road teams face the Super Bowl champions, and they put on that kind of performance where they didn't look great at times, but it didn't matter because they just kept coming. They threw 7 times last night against Jalen Ramsey, and they completed 6 of those passes. They were more than capable of realizing we got this one. I don't care what the score is. I don't care what the situation is. When that clock strikes zero in the fourth quarter, we're going to be winners. If you didn't watch the game, if you kind of just woke up and maybe you had to miss it for whatever reason and saw 31-10, it feels like that would have been a dominating game. But the game didn't have that as the score. It wasn't until some fourth quarter touchdowns that allowed the Bills the 21-point cushion. But I would argue this, it just seemed like all night long I was seeing more good stuff from Buffalo than I was seeing from the Rams. And again, the game was tied at halftime. And again, it was a one-score game going into the fourth quarter. This Buffalo team, there's no other way to say this without getting that nuts after week one. But if they play like this, I can't find the combination. You're going to only beat them in these one-shot playoff deals where anything can happen. They come at you in waves. They're totally confident. Here's a couple of other things. Josh Allen literally completes every pass he throws. He was 87% last night completion rating. His interception bounced off the hands of Isaiah McKenzie. Didn't matter. We just come right back. We just start throwing it. Stephon Diggs, Jalen Ramsey on the touchdown to Diggs, one-on-one coverage. Diggs beats him. Now, the play, I'm talking about the play where he kind of, Allen just found Diggs open and Ramsey was rushing over to try. That might have been a situation where Jalen Ramsey didn't know the certain coverage. Maybe he thought there would be safety help and it didn't have it and realized it too late. But that was a performance last night. This Josh Allen, for everybody that was criticizing everything that he was at Wyoming, the Bills saw enough to change him. Right? He wasn't the most accurate guy in college. He wasn't the most accurate guy in his pro days. But now he's one of the most accurate passers in the game. And again, that defense, just all night. And I know the Rams' offensive line has got problems. That was one of the big concerns coming into this year. I get it, but and Von Miller, again, he's not the young Von Miller, but he does enough and he allows others to do things on that defense. It was a really impressive performance. And here's the other thing, guys, with the Buffalo Bills, this better not be a trend or the AFC is dead. They, in the last six games, going back to last season, they have not punted in four of those games. Sam Martin did not punt last night. He held field goals and extra points, but he did not punt. They didn't punt against the Patriots in the playoffs. They didn't punt in a couple of games in the final weeks of the season. That means they move the ball. They convert their... That was one other thing last night. So... Again, I was with some buddies, and I don't know if you ever kind of gathered it with friends and you watch a game, but sometimes it sort of morphs into conversations about other things and the game's kind of on and, you know, you're just enjoying it, but we're really kind of hanging out. So I'm trying to pay as much attention to the game as possible, but still kind of entertaining my friends and their thoughts and whatnot. But one thing I noticed over and over again last night, Bills were converting third downs all night. All night. If that's a trend, and it's a long season, so I'm not sure. If Sam Martin gets very, very, very limited work, they're gonna roll through this AFC that's really loaded. I don't think that's gonna happen. I think this conference is still gonna be really, really tough. But four times in the last six games, going back to last year, and one was against Bill Belichick in the playoffs. Yikes. All right, we'll come back. More on this game. Thoughts on the weekend that is in college football and, of course, in the NFL with a full slate of games on Sunday. All right, your thoughts as well on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. We continue. It is Wake Up Call. Good to have you on a Friday.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's, of course. That's how you got to put it out. By the way, our condolences out to the country of England for the loss of their queen. Long live the king, Charles III.
God save the king.
Yeah, God save the king. They had to change the lyrics. Premier League matches are postponed for a while, for a bit, while the country goes in mourning. So, sad, nevertheless. But 96.
96.
I mean, come on. I mean.
She'd like, been in rain. Like, you know, the thing I found the most surprising, and I guess I just never really thought about it or cared to think about it, really, was that she became queen when she was 25.
Yeah.
Like, can exactly. you imagine? I mean, that's a.
It's a 70 years of being in the spotlight. 70 years.
Yeah.
Of, like, everything. Like you, like the, like she ruled over the 50s, the 60s,
right.
the 70s, like all the change in culture, change in the way we, our attitudes on things, change in the way we do economics, politics, sports. I mean, everything. She was the queen of England through all of that.
It was just unreal. Unreal to think about.
You think Jacksonville should do something for this? I mean, after all, that's kind of part of their country now.
I mean, yeah.
Right? The Jaguars should lower the Jag flag at half staff or whatever they do with the
The Jaguar flag, though, not the
United States flag.
Not the United States flag. Like, keep that one up high.
We threw that yoke off 250 years ago. Like, we're fine. But the Jag flag, like, lowered half mast. People can half day today in mourning of the queen in Jacksonville.
Yeah. I saw this video that they've had a plan prepared. Just for when she was to die. And it is like, it's mind-boggling that, I mean, all these, there's a whole slew of things that are going to happen. But all the way down to the fact that news reporters, news anchors, had a suit sitting ready to go for them to announce that the queen was dead.
That's what I was thinking yesterday. I mean, listen, I'm not... I mean, yeah, it's sad, whatever, but she was 96. You, it's like when you, in here in this country, when we have obituaries, like, already made for celebrities that are like, look, let's be honest, any day now, right, on Abe Vigoda or, all, you know, some of these actors that live to be in their 90s. Yeah, but what I'm saying is when they were in the 90s, when they're in your 90s, yeah, it's any day now, right? I mean...
But one of the things I didn't even think about, all the money has to be changed.
Yeah, I know.
They're going to slowly phase out the money.
What a pain in the behind that is. Golly. So anyway, what were your thoughts last night on Bills-Rams? Because I just ranted about how that thing was – I think it was even more lopsided than 31-10. If you could get even more lopsided than 31-10, I think it was more lopsided than that.
I think there's two things that were crossing my mind while watching that game. The first was – you know, did we give the Bills enough credit? Now, you and I put them as number one. You and I both have them winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But did we give them enough credit? I almost fear that they're better than we actually think they are.
They might be better than what we actually thought. Like, well, I know Vegas has got them as the favorites. I
mean, right.
They're the betting favorites to win the Super Bowl. But
I mean, just,
if I'm a Bills fan, I am like... Because I've been burned so many times, like let's say I'm an older Bills fan and I remember the Jim Kelly era and whatnot, I'm almost like, okay, are we going to do this for 17 games and then fall apart one magical night in, you know, at home or wherever? But like I said, last night, like not one Bills player seemed like the moment was bigger than what they were.
No, and that was the thing.
They have grown to this moment where they don't care where they're playing, who they're playing, what circumstance they are playing.
Yeah, and I mean, I honestly, why did they ever give Matt Ariza any money?
Yeah, right?
I mean, no. I would at this point just say, you know what, we're going to run a rolling raffle for Bills Mafia. If you've ever kicked a ball, show up.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll get in, maybe you won't. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, again, Sam Martin sat and did nothing. He just did nothing.
Yeah, like you said, he held a ball.
Yeah.
He did a good job at doing that.
Held the ball in a field goal and an extra point for four touchdowns.
But, I mean, yeah, like you said, you know, it's like, you know, the AFC needs to be mindful of the fact that they haven't punted in four of their last six games.
Yeah.
Josh Allen also sent a statement yesterday when he stiff-armed that guy into the turf.
He did, yeah. That's another thing,
and,
too.
I mean, that, just, you know, this is the first game out, and he's already saying, no, 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 we're in midseason form, guys. Look what I'm doing.
The Rams scored a late touchdown about, what, two and a half minutes ago, whatever, the Cooper Kupp touchdown. Then they kicked a field goal to end the first half. So this made it 10-10. But like I said, there was just, I mean, the Bills were just giving the ball away. But again, even when they were giving the ball away, that's how I thought, well, if the Rams are going to win this game, that's going to be the story. It's not going to be how good the Rams are. If the Rams pull this off, it's because the Bills keep turning the ball over. And Sean McDermott even said at halftime, nobody felt like they were losing the game or the game was tied or the game was close. They all felt like, no, we made some mistakes. Let's not make the mistakes again, and then we'll win. And then they scored three touchdowns in the second half, shut the Rams out, and that was it. That was all she wrote.
And honestly, I mean, the interceptions that happened weren't bad.
Yeah.
They were just tipped balls.
There was a tipped ball there was a tipped ball. Isaiah McKenzie had the tip, and that went in. And then he did throw one bad one that was where the defender beat the route. That was one bad one. And then the other one was tipped, too.
Yeah, and then the fumbles that they had.
The fumble was to a rookie.
Right. And he was fighting for extra yards, and it was a perfect punch out.
Right. So the turnovers weren't, hey, guys, what the hell is going on here? It was like, all right, you know, you tip a ball up in the air, you tip it, you can't get to it. Okay, these things are going to occur. And like I said, so I think one of the interceptions was, whoops, my bad. Defender came in and read it perfectly, read his eyes and got it. But like Allen's, he's this tough quarterback, like you said, stiff arm, that wouldn't like diving for the goal line, you know, putting himself out there. Like if I'm the Bills, I cringe every time. Like I don't need this for my quarterback. I need him. But at the same time, he's so aggressive. He sees the opening. It's a 4-yard run. Defender's coming at him. He heads to the defender as best he can. And while he's in the air and he's being tackled, he's leaping across and he's throwing the ball across the goal line, tries to break the plane.
It was sticking his throwing arm.
Yeah, sticking out
to no man's land where, you know, if a defender is there, his own objective would be to smack that arm as hard as he possibly can. Probably try to break it.
Knock it down. So.
But then on the flip side of it, you know, have we been giving the Rams too much credit?
The Rams have some issues. The offensive line needs to be better. Sean McVay said afterwards, and I think a lot of this is like when games don't go your way and you lose and there's some flaws, coaches sometimes go, hey, this is on me. Mike Tomlin does this all the time. Mike Tomlin will be like, nope, I'm not blaming one thing. This is all on me. It's my fault. That's it. Yeah. End of story. McVay kind of did that, but the reality of it is his offensive line wasn't very good. And Matt Stafford, you know, he threw 41 times for a guy that did have a procedure done on his elbow. I mean, like, and he didn't look all that sharp.
No, yeah. He really didn't. I mean, I know they held him out of all the preseason.
Right.
All the preseason games. But, yeah, he didn't look incredible. But at the same time, I mean, like I don't know which way to look at it because it's game one. I don't know, is it, you know, do the Bills have a really good front four or is it the Rams need to shore up their offensive line a little bit more?
I think the Bills have a good front four. I think it's a combination of both.
Like, I mean, underrated because we don't really talk about it.
Anytime one NFL team sacks another NFL team 7 times, it's usually a combination of both, right? I mean, it's usually like if you have a good offensive line, no matter who you're facing, you're not going to let your quarterback get sacked 7 times. Like if you're a solid offensive line and if you're a solid defensive front, you're not going to get 7 defensive sacks unless you get a little bit of help, like meaning you can just go through it like cheese. But like Sean McVay said last night, it's humbling. And I think for the Rams, this is humbling. Look, they're a good enough team that fixed this or that. They're still going to win the division. But I think the bigger story was, this was supposed to be mano a mano, and I never felt like it was an equal game.
And I thought the Rams would be more hyped. I mean, they're unveiling their banner and they're, you know, celebrating their Super Bowl win, and it just didn't translate.
The 3-minute moment that they had where they scored, that was all they had for the entire game. 57 other minutes, they weren't that good. All right, it's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio as we continue. Good Friday to you.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue on your Football Friday. I wish I could come up with another thing for Football Friday because everybody says Football Friday. Or is that just a universal thing now? We just all we'll
well, it's not trademarked, so I think we're okay.
We might as well all just have it, right? No other way to say it.
You know, you could be different. Go, you know, hey, welcome to Friday Football.
I love how people are already saying Josh Allen is the early favorite for MVP.
I'll just give him the award now.
Yeah, right. We've had one game. Like, let's chill. But I will say this: a lot of MVPs are awarded, right? It's like the Heisman Trophy in a way. Like, I always like Heisman Trophy races that where we start off with like five people.
Yeah.
And we say, these are the favorites. And then by the time we get to New York, none of the five are there. Right? And then like, there's a whole new five that have come out of nowhere. And you're like, wow, well, this is great.
Recently, I remember this very well because you and I were definitely on this bandwagon. But the year Joe Burrow won it.
Right.
Because wasn't even on our radar.
No, not
Tua
at all.
Tua had a couple of really good games. Those first three games, we were like, why even bother having a Heisman race?
Yeah.
Just give him the award now. And then we come to find out that this Joe Burrow kid was pretty good, and Tua kind of wasn't towards the end of the season.
And then there are some times where awards are like a person is so impressive early that that's the just the one thing you watch. And if they stay that way, you're like, well, I'm falling in love with this player.
Yeah.
Where I can't really put in context everything else.
But I'll say this, though. If Josh Allen keeps playing the way he played last night, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and he doesn't even have to play like where he's doing, like, because he, you know, threw, like I said, threw three interceptions, but, I mean, not, you know, whatever.
He threw three interceptions, but, I mean, if he...
It's not that big of a deal.
But, yeah, because they weren't, like I said, they weren't terrible. And it was the first game. You know, I mean, the tip ball, I mean, I feel bad that a tip ball counts against the quarterback sometimes, especially when it's like literally in and out of their hands.
Right, yeah.
So you should, I know you can't. Baseball would find a way to make that a stat.
You would find some other, yeah, like it's also too, like when quarterbacks, you see that they have, they threw an interception, and then you find out in the game that it was like at the end of the half, they chucked it up to the end zone.
Right.
From 60 yards out, and it landed in the arms of one of the 15 players down there that were all just hanging around, and you go, oh, that, but it still counts, you know. But again, this Josh Allen's story is really like there are quarterbacks that come into this league, and you go, okay, like they're drafted, and we know about them, and you know we know where they come from. You know, Tua Tagovailoa, for example, right, is just like he went to Alabama, and he was Joe Burrow, same thing. Like if you're a Bengals fan, you get Joe Burrow. It's like I know Joe Burrow. He won a national title. They drafted Josh Allen out of Wyoming. He played in the Mountain West. Nobody knew who he was, right? And then there was this. You know, all this kind of pre-draft criticism. And if you're a Bills fan and you draft this kid and you're thinking, well, we got Tyrod Taylor, I should be excited about that. There's no way you could have predicted this meteoric rise to superstardom that he's got right now. Like even Patrick Mahomes was still a more known person from college than Josh Allen was. I mean, you have to be, you know, third level to be paying attention to Wyoming football.
Yeah. Come on now.
In the Mountain West Conference. I mean, we talk about how local college football is. I mean, I don't think people in upstate New York were watching Wyoming versus Boise State on Mountain West Saturday.
Yeah, you know what? I can tell you right? This much right here. The amount of people in this studio right now couldn't tell you where University of Wyoming is.
Sure. By the way, it's in Laramie.
Okay. See?
Well, only because I lived in Colorado, and I've been to Laramie many times.
So half the people in the studio.
Well, it's not that far of a drive. It's a far drive, but it's not that bad. And I used to go with Air Force. Air Force would play up there. And I went to a Wyoming-Colorado State game for nothing more than giggles, just because a buddy of mine was going, and I could get a credential. And I was like, all right, I'll go. So I went up to see Colorado State versus Wyoming, but mostly every other year Air Force would go, and I would go with Air Force.
And they haven't really put a whole lot of people in the NFL, right?
Who? Wyoming?
Wyoming. Yeah, like, yeah. So, I mean, that's the other thing, too.
Like, I'm just guessing. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm guessing very few, right? but again, the critic, like, and this wasn't like people weren't criticizing Allen from the standpoint of he was playing at Wyoming. That's not how scouting works. I mean, you can play anywhere, right? You can play in Division II school. You can play anywhere. But when they went to go, you know, see him or saw tape of him, because, you know, they said, okay, there's some things we like, but he's not accurate with the throw. He relies on his legs too much. And the Bills were like, that's all fixable. That's fixable. And we like, in the end, we like his approach to the game, right? He has a strong arm, things like that. And I think we can work it. And so this is what we were talking about yesterday. When you talk about continuity and it's an over, I don't think it's that term is used enough when it comes to the NFL, but on how important it is. I said this yesterday and I'm going to repeat it. I am not saying you stick with a bad coach. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying you stick with bad coordinators. If you have an offensive coordinator that stinks, you got to change him. But all things being equal, if you are a team that has a solid head coach and you have solid coordinators and you have a young quarterback, I'm telling you the Josh Allen model should be followed by teams. Yeah, going to another coach in Chicago is extremely important, right? And Mike McDaniel was the offensive coordinator in San Francisco, and he left for another job, just like Brian Daboll did. But that's really the story of the development of Josh Allen. It's that he has natural ability, he had pro-level ability, but he needed people to get it out of him, and then it had to become a project within the coaching staff of the Bills where it was a consistent project, right? Imagine if you're building a deck, right, at your backyard, and you bring in a team, and the team is like, we're gonna build a deck, we're going to have a fire pit, we're going to have a gazebo, we're going to put some concrete things, and you go, great, and then the team goes, yeah, but we're changing out the entire crew. We're bringing in a whole new group of people. And then they come in and you have to re-explain what that is. And then you know, another day later, another crew comes in. What will happen is that the original deck, the original idea of what you have for the deck probably gets changed a bit, right? As the new crew comes in and starts going, all right, we're going to do this. And there's a slope here and that. And a lot of times it isn't what the original plan is. The Bills are building a quarterback. They were building a quarterback in Josh Allen, right? So having Brian Daboll there consistently, Sean McDermott there consistently, Ken Dorsey there when he got there, and just having this constant, as a quarterback's coach, constant same voices, right? You got to do this with the football. You got to run out of bounds. You can't go get tackled in this league. You have to learn that as a rookie. Every rookie thinks they can do what they did in college, because in college, the drop off can be tremendous, right? From what you are to what your defenders are. Like when you're playing at a certain level, the drop off is tremendous. And then you have to sort of say it seems obvious, but you have to drive it home sometimes to young players. Every single person that plays in this league is the best football player in the world. Every one of them. You are playing against guys that would never have played in your conference if you came from a Mountain West, let's say. This is a high, high, high level. You are going to get slaughtered if you keep going at defenders like you did when you were in school, because you might have been a stronger quarterback than the guy tackling you on defense. But in this league, no. And he learned how to be more conservative. Now, Leah, you know, sticking the throwing arm out, we love the aggressiveness. But the other thing that he did, he got more patient, right? He got more accurate, which was one of the criticisms coming out of college. And they have really molded this guy. He is not a star. He is a megastar now. He is a megastar. And for the Bills, I'm not saying that they inherited this magical gift, right? Like they developed it. They took a quarterback and with raw skills and molded it into what this isn't a diamond in the rough where you didn't know what you were getting. And then all of a sudden you got a star. They saw star potential and then molded it into a star player. And that's when people are kind of saying early MVP vote, right? All that stuff. We've only played one game. We haven't even got to the full weekend yet. We have no idea what 17 games are going to do. It's this. People are saying it not just because of the performance last night, but they've been saying it because this is a long time coming. This has been coming for a while, that this guy in Buffalo has been on this fast track to mega, mega stardom. Von Miller said he's a beast, and Von Miller just got there. Right. And so he now knows what everybody on that team has known about their quarterback. He is tough, but he's smart. And now he's got enough experience to know what he can and can't do in this league and what he should and shouldn't do in this league. He's not going to be a reckless guy. He may make decisions that make you go, all right, next time, because there's going to be some heat in the moment kind of thought processes when you play football. But that's what Buffalo has got now. A quarterback that can shake off turnovers and still say, we're not even close to losing this game. And I believe Sean McDermott, because there's a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking that goes on in post-game quotes, right? Where you got the whole context of it and you go, all right, well, you know, we always felt like... I believe Sean McDermott. I believed everybody in that locker room went, no, they just scored 10 points in the final 3 minutes of the second half. We're not losing this game. And Josh Allen is the one behind it. And so, again, with all the stuff to prove to everybody around the country, not really to prove, that's probably too strong of a word, because there were high expectations and people, it's not like people were like, well, I wonder what the Bills are going to look like this year. But with the everybody's focus on this game, the nation's focus on this game, and all right, how will they come out in 2022? Well, right now it's pretty strong, pretty strong. All right, well, we'll get to some college games coming up, because there's a Alabama-Texas game. There's a couple of others that we're going to get to. But again, we'll be focusing a lot on week one of the National Football League. Your thoughts on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Again, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. It's glad to have football back here at your Friday. It's Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. We continue along this morning, and a good Friday to you. All right, so we got a full slate of games coming up this weekend. I just found out through my, websites that show you the territory of NFL games, like who's getting what. I am getting Steelers-Cincinnati here in Nashville, Tennessee. So I get to see with my own eyes Mitch Trubisky and the Steelers play Joe Burrow in the Bengals. And then I get a Tennessee Giants on my local side. But back to Red Zone. I love Red Zone. But I'm glad I'm getting the Steelers. I'll watch the Steelers and then I'll watch the Titans. So I probably won't get to watch Red Zone this time. It'll be back-to-back games. And then Sunday night, you got Tampa Bay versus Dallas. And then Monday night, the debut of the new Monday night football team of Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
I wonder if they'll be any good together.
I wonder.
Aikman. It is kind of weird.
Well, you know, Joe, he's a good player. He's really tough. When you really talk about tough players, Joe, he's on my list of tough players.
Well, I mean, you think about
it. Here, cash your seven-figure check.
Like every major network that's carried football all has a new number one crew.
I know. It's crazy.
You know, there was some change to it. I mean, you know, Collinsworth was able to keep his same position, but it's funny. It's just like every single one has a new number one crew.
Yep.
What an offseason.
Right. So, Nance and Romo, what are they doing? Are they still together?
Yeah, I guess they are.
Yeah, still together.
But there was a change. Oh, no, I guess no, it would have been Fox then, right? Where Fox Greg Olson and
Kevin Burkhart are going to be doing those games together now. They're the new
So, yeah, CBS,
one.
Yeah, they're remaining with the same Nance boring crew.
Yeah. Can't get enough of Romo. Can't get enough of Tony Romo. Oh, Jim, it's going to be great. It's going to be a pass. And then it's a pass, and everybody's just like, oh, my God, he's brilliant. Oh, really? On 3rd and 8? He thought it was going to be a pass?
Oh, was it okay. Romo Domus or something?
Romo Domus, yeah. Exactly. But I think this is my theory on Romo. I think Romo was doing what you should be doing as an analyst, but hadn't been done in a long time. And so people got accustomed to just superlatives and rather boring commentary that didn't really have any real impact. And then Romo came in and was like, Well, I'm just going to tell you what I know as a player, what should be the play here based on what the formation is. Like, I never saw Phil Sims. I mean, maybe he did, but I never really heard Phil Sims talk about things like that. Like, sometimes I listen to analysts and I go, gee, I could do that job. And I didn't play in the National Football League. And then Romo came in and I'm like, I have special insight. Why don't I just give him out my special insight? And everybody went crazy. Like, even Collinsworth says, some good stuff. And one thing about Collinsworth that I will say, he does a lot of research, which is what you're supposed to do. And I've heard stories about others in the business that don't have the same level of work ethic. They kind of wing it. You know, they're like, well, I'll just figure it out as I go. But Collinsworth really puts in a lot of work with the tape. He watches everything. But I also think that comes from his time at Inside the NFL. Remember that we talked about this with Len Dawson, that show that was on HBO that he was a part of. They watched everything, broke down everything, and I think he was accustomed to that. And when he was doing, you know, analyst work, he was just accustomed to watching everything all the time, every week, every single player all the time. So he could also, so even if he was doing Cowboys, you know, whatever, Cowboys Eagles on Sunday night, he could still say, just like Sunday when Leonard Fournette ran, you know, what, like he can bring up other players. But yeah. So Monday night, it's going to be Seattle and Russell Wilson's return as he guides the Broncos against the Seahawks. All right, we got more to come as we continue. Glad you can be with us. Friday, NFL, it's all here on Wake Up Call.